put my sermon audio mic on. All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1. We started a little series last week based on a principle that is revealed and carried through the first two chapters of Genesis, where you find the phrase, when God is creating, you'll find a phrase that He uses over and over and over again, and that phrase is after His kind. Now, I'll read a few of these verses. Genesis 1, 11 and 12, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. In verse 21, you have the whales, the living creatures, the waters that brought forth abundantly after their kind, the winged fowl after his kind. And then when it comes to the creation of man, verse 24 through 26, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Man is not a direct link to the animal. Because God said in every category of creation that He created after His kind. So like begets like. We looked at the plant kingdom last week. And, you know, we talked a little bit about different kinds of seeds, different kinds of trees, what kind of fruit they bore. And it's always the same. When you sow corn, it's not going to be bringing forth green beans. When you plant an apple tree, it won't bring forth oranges, because it's going to strictly bring forth after his kind. We also learn that there's a spiritual application to that, and we're going to get into that more today. But Jesus thought it was so important that in Matthew 7, he talked about a good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a bad tree that brings forth evil fruit. And it's really a contrast between the two natures that exist in every man, every saved man. You've got an old nature, an evil nature that all men are born with. It never bears fruit that's pleasing to God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, when God gives you a new nature, he gives you, you're a new nature, like after him, after his kind, and as a result, you always bring forth good fruit out of that nature. And so, that I thought it was interesting how that Jesus referenced that. Big point that I made last week, I believe God is the creator of both the physical realm that we see and the spiritual realm within. I believe God is the one behind all of it. His power brings it about. And then we looked at human reproduction. Again, it's always the same. Jesus said that God created them male and female. You try to foul that up and it's not going to work. Two males can't bring forth after their kind. Two females can't bring forth after their kind. You say, well, now they can do a lot of other things. Yeah, but they're going against God's principles. when they do that. And the fact of the matter is, a man is always biologically going to be a man. I don't care how many operations he has, his DNA is, he is a male, and forever he shall be. I don't care how much lipstick he puts on, how much makeup he paints with his face with, I don't care how many skirts he wears, he's still a male. Same is true with a woman. There's only two genders, male and female. And a male can't get pregnant. Can you believe that we actually, that there were politicians who were getting incensed at the idea that somebody would say that men can't get pregnant? What kind of idiots do we have in our government? Oh, it really troubled me. I didn't watch it. I don't watch the news. I don't watch political stuff on the news, but I heard it. I read an article about one of the Supreme Court justices when she was being interviewed. And a simple question, can you tell me what a woman is? Can you? No, I can't. I thought, well, you don't need to be on the Supreme Court. All right, I live on Buffalo Creek Road, and I know enough to know, I know what a woman is. I'm married to one. 40 years worth. I know what one is. And I know that only a woman can bring forth a child. This is God's way. You don't alter it. So we looked at that. Now that law, when it's violated, through incest, premarital sex, homosexuality, adultery, you'll always have chaos and confusion. Always. Guarantee it. And I preach some against homosexuality. You say, well, you preach against that a lot. Well, somebody has to. There's way, way too much promotion of the LGBTQTP. I added P because they're trying to get pedophile on there. I added that. Believe me, it's coming. But it's perversion. It goes against God's principles. Now, today, we're going to look at Christian reproduction. After establishing the principle of like begetting like in the physical realm, it's now appropriate to consider this principle in the spiritual realm. Now remember again, when the laws of reproduction are violated in the physical realm, chaos ensues, confusion. And the same is found to be true in the spiritual realm. It would shock you if you really knew what people believed about regeneration or the new birth. I would say that the average preacher in the pulpit and the person in the pew have no idea what the new birth really is. The new birth is God's way of producing Christians in His own image. You see, Adam, he was warned by God. Adam and Eve were warned by God. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, he started dying physically that day. But that's not what God was referring to. He was referring to Adam's spiritual condition. And Adam that day died spiritually. The result of that, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Go all the way back. By the way, again, this is a principle. These Christians who say that they believe in evolution, how do you, you're denying the federal headship of Adam. God created Adam. He was the first man. He's of the earth. He's earthy. He's fleshly. He's carnal because of the fall. And as a result, that old nature, that nature of death and degradation and depravity, will never bring forth anything that pleases God. Romans 8, 7 and 8. The carnal mind is at enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That means that that old nature, that carnal, sinful, depraved nature, cannot bring forth repentance. It can't bring forth saving faith. It can't bring forth any spiritual affection toward God at all, because it's dead. God has to do a remarkable, miraculous, astounding work. You literally have to be born from above. God, the Holy Spirit, has to bring the new birth to the sinner if he's going to live. Regeneration, or the new birth, or being born again. Notice, you read your Bible, there's never a formula how to be born again. There's never seven steps to being born again. You'll notice that. No. When Jesus was talking about it, he just declared, unless you've been born of the Spirit, unless you're born of the Spirit and you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't enter into the kingdom of God. You're blinded to it and you're lame. You can't enter into it because you're dead. Now, regeneration is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit actually gives spiritual life, creates spiritual life. And I believe that the Word of God is connected closely. Regeneration is the solely the work of God, but it produces in that sinner, for the first time in their life, they are brought to spiritual life, and the Spirit of God gives them the ability to see what they are and what they need. And there is a change of mind about sin, repentance, and a turning from sin, a turning unto Christ in conversion. That dead sinner can have the gospel preached to him over and over and over and over again. But nothing will happen until the power of the Holy Spirit gives them spiritual life. And at that moment, they believe. Now, that's the order, regeneration and conversion. There's no time sequence. It's not hard shells say that you can be born again and never and not even know it for years. That's heresy. Every baby knows it's alive. When it's born, it starts crying out. It's hungry. It's got life. And when God, the Spirit, performs a new birth and He creates that new nature, immediately that person repents and believes in response to the message of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Amen. So dead sinners are brought to spiritual life. A new man is created after the image of God that can respond to the Word of God and respond to the preaching of the gospel. And they do it immediately. Now, I remember when God the Spirit gave me the new birth, gifted me with the new birth. I had no understanding of this. I was a little bit discombobulated in this way. I could not figure out what was making me change my mind so radically. I mean, days before, I'm living a sinful, wicked life. And the farthest thing from my mind was what would happen to me in the new birth. I didn't know. I knew I was going to hell. I knew that I needed a change. But I was unable to produce it. But the day that the Spirit of God gave me spiritual life, all I can tell you is when He gave me life, I came running. Amen. Absolutely nothing was going to hold. I didn't care what my friends thought. I didn't care what it, at that moment, all I wanted was Christ. Amen. And I said to Greg Rittenhouse, I need to be saved right now. I was emphatic. He didn't tell me, you got to pray a little prayer. You got to do this, you got to do that. No. Simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. And that day I was saved. Amen. I can't explain how days before, years before, I was on the broad road that leads to destruction, and that was the way I was living. And that day, it was an irresistible power that overcame me. I can even remember when I'm getting out of his car. Part of me is thinking, all right, this is it. I'm going home. And then I heard myself say, can I come in and talk to you some more? Where did it come from? There's a part of me. Have you ever seen those cartoons where you got a little devil on one? That's what it was almost like, it seemed like. It was like there was a part of me that said, go home. Don't go in the house. What are you doing? I couldn't help it. I was being drawn irresistibly and invincibly by the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. And that day, I wanted to know Christ more than anything else, and it changed me forever. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That creation, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, this truth of the new birth is stated so clearly. See, if you listen to preachers today, radio preachers, Facebook preachers, they'll tell people, hey, all you've got to do is repent and believe and you'll be born again. That's what they tell. They got it completely backwards. You have to be born of the Spirit in order to exercise repentance and faith. Without a spiritual nature, all you are is producing dead works that are unfit. So they got it completely backwards. I'm going to read some scriptures. You can look them up. You can follow along. I'm not waiting on you, though. John chapter 3, verse 5. Verily, verily. That's an old English term. Truly. And he's emphasizing it by saying it twice. Listen carefully. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. By the way, when the way, the truth, and the life speaks, you better listen. He's the one that's saying this. Here's what Jesus believed about the new birth. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The old nature produces after its kind. Flesh always produces fleshly works. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's the way it is. You must be born of the Spirit. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and then contrasted or amplified by verse 10. Ephesians 2, 1, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Verse 10. Well, you know what? I like to quote verses 8 and 9 to go along with verse 10. Because again, it emphasizes the fact you're not the one that brings about the new birth. It's a work of God. Everything about salvation is of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That right there ought to settle it completely. Not infant baptism, not baptismal regeneration by immersion, not good works, not law keeping, not church membership, not belonging to a denomination. None of those things will save you. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen carefully. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship. It's the direct creation of God. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me guarantee you this. If you've been born of the Spirit, if you've been gifted with this grace and the ability to believe, it's going to change you so radically that you're going to produce good works. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. And if you don't, you're not saved. That's the long and the short of it. If there's no change in your life, if there is no fruit of the Spirit evident, you are not saved. Now, I know a lot of preachers want to dance around that. I'm not good at dancing. When you're saved, you're changed. I've said it for years. If you've never been changed, you've never been saved. Titus 3:5. Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, not the old nature, not a false gospel, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Ephesians 4, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God, after his kind, after God, is created. It's a work of creation in righteousness and true holiness. This new man is the new nature created by God within the believer. And it's that nature is so much like God's nature that your new nature will never produce sin. Think about that. Because it's born of God. That's what 1 John 3:9 says. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's not talking about sinless perfection. of your entire being, what part of you is born of God? Your new man, the new nature. And that's the one that brings forth fruit. Now, it's interesting to note that Jesus likened believers to fruit-bearing trees that are planted through the instrumentality of a sower and good seed planted on good soil. The soil is the heart of man that's been prepared by the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. The seed is the Word of God, which we faithfully spread the gospel over all the world. And God is the one that gives life and enables that seed to bring forth much fruit, spiritual fruit unto God. God's way is that His people carry the pure seed of the gospel to all soils of the world, all the while relying on the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit to bring life to dead sinners so that they can respond to the truth of the gospel. It's as simple as it is. Now, all I've done is gone through the Scriptures. That's all I've done, quoted the Bible. Whenever this principle of like begetting like after his kind is altered, you have chaos, mutations, and sterilization. And all you got to look at, there's two false extremes. You got Arminianism on the one side that says it's all of man. You got hard shellism on the other side that says, you know, basically, you don't have to preach the gospel. You don't have to believe anything. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You got two false extremes. Deuteronomy 22:9 says, "Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled." You know, we got a real problem today in our world because of false evangelistic methods of Arminianism. They're not even sowing the good seed of the Word of God. They're enticing people with words of man's wisdom, man, pop psychology, trying to manipulate them into making a profession. That's not God's way. You don't see it in the book of Acts. You know how they did the work in the book of Acts? They went to where sinners were. They told them, "You're wicked, and unless you repent, you're going to hell. But I've got a way. It's called Jesus. He died, was buried, and rose again. The message of the gospel." And that's what they did. It was as simple as that. But you look at Arminianism today. Look at how many different ways of salvation they've come up with. And they're attempting to alter God's way by employing gimmicks, gadgets, frills to entice men to make a profession of faith. Listen, when I was in Mississippi, the preacher knows one of his cousins is an Armenian preacher. And he went on a medical missions trip and he told Chris, he said, "We had 87 decisions this year." And, I mean, he really thought that was an amazing thing. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's not about decisions. It's about the power of God changing people from within. They're sowing diverse seeds of free willism, and the results are in Hosea 5:7. "They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children." Tell you what, you start this system of trying to entice people, manipulate them to make a profession, bow your head, repeat a prayer. It's follow these steps. You know what? It's why churches are filled with lost people that have no real desire for Christ. It's a social thing that they engage in. And a lot of times, they'll make a decision and you never see them again. The problems in most churches can be traced to lost church members who are spiritual Ishmaels produced out of the energy of the flesh rather than by the Spirit of God. These false professors produced through false means are sterile and unable to bring forth fruit to God. They're likened unto strange children that defile the Lord's vineyard with carnality because they've never been changed by the power of God. And hard shells likewise are sterile. They don't believe in carrying the gospel seed through mission work. Children, I'm going to tell you right now, there's no belief apart from the gospel. There's no saving faith apart from the gospel. That's why God requires us to preach it. You say, well, couldn't God make it? Yeah, He can, and I think He does in certain instances. Like, now, this is, I don't have a doctrinal passage I can point this to, but it's how I who said that? Did Al say that? That's what I believe. Listen, if you do the mathematical calculation of how many people in Revelation, thousands and thousands of thousands, how can there be that many people in heaven? When Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat," there's three soils that never produce any fruit. Well, in a miraculous way, I believe children that die, you say, well, at what age? That's up to the Lord. It ain't up to me. But I think heaven's going to be populated with a lot of children who were aborted. And miraculously, God regenerated them and gave them faith to believe. Say, now, wait a minute. Again, I'm just telling you what I think. I hope I'm right. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see whether I'm right or not. But mathematically, there is a real minority of people who will ever respond in faith to the gospel. It's 20, minimum of 25%. And I have to believe after 40 years of door knocking that it's a lot less than that. Now, this is God's way of reproducing after His kind. Now, next week we'll look at another area where like produces like, and it's in the Christian home. All right? So we'll look at that next week, God willing.
Let's all stand.
Page number 246.